In Paris on Monday, flames engulfed the famous Cathedral Notre-Dame de Paris. Its iconic spire collapsed during the blaze. Notable statues of the patron saints of Paris are believed destroyed, and yet, talking about good news, the firefighters worked through the night and were able to save much of the structure just minutes from a total collapse. French President Emmanuel Macron spoke in a televised address last night. We were hearing his words rendered in real time by an interpreter.
We are that people who builds.
Nous avons tant à reconstruire.
We have a lot to build.
Nous rebâtirons la cathédrale Notre-Dame.
We will build the cathedral of Notre-Dame even more beautiful than it was.
But
this must be done in 5 years. We can do that.
Joining us now from Oberlin, Ohio, to talk about the cultural import of Notre Dame is Eric Ingalls. He's a professor of medieval art history at Oberlin College. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, David. I'm happy to join you.
You know, Notre Dame is something that's been viewed in person by millions of Americans, as seen in, you know, Disney cartoons by many millions more. Remind us of what Notre Dame actually is, and then let's talk a little bit about what it means to the French people.
Sure. So one thing that's key to remember is that Notre Dame is a cathedral, and we tend to use that term colloquially to mean any big church, but a cathedral is a very specific kind of church. It's the home church of a bishop in his diocese. So Notre Dame is the home church for the Bishop of Paris, and an enormous amount of the attention it's getting now derives from that role, that it was really built in some ways, it was constructed in some ways to be the kind of stage that's receiving this attention today.
So construction began, and these are things you know better than I, but began on the Ile de la Cité, a small island in the middle of the Seine River. It began in 1163 during the reign of King Louis VII, was completed in 1345, almost 200 years later. It's considered a jewel of medieval Gothic architecture. Why?
So one of the key things about that date in the 1160s, and I said, and this goes back to Notre Dame being a cathedral, so the bishop has to answer to an archbishop. And Paris was actually not the archdiocese. That was in a little town called Sens. And in the 1160s, Maurice de Sully, who's the bishop of Paris, is really tired of answering to the archbishop of Sens, which is even then a fairly provincial town. And so he begins construction of a massive cathedral, in part, and not in part, absolutely as an attempt to elevate the status of the Diocese of Paris. And one of the very notable things about it, there have been a number of Gothic cathedrals before then. The Cathedral of Paris really inaugurates a height race. So it was about 30 feet taller than any cathedral that had been built before it. And the cathedrals of Chartres and Reims, which had begun immediately afterwards, instantly try to be taller than it. So it's built on a public sphere, and it's built in a competitive environment where the architecture is a way to gain status for the diocese and the bishop.
You know, we think of the incredible damage that we witnessed on television in recent days. You know, not the first time the cathedral's been beaten up. It was really damaged during the French Revolution, if I recall. A lot of the saints had their heads decapitated because the French Revolution were going to an sort of anti-Christian, anti-religion approach. I believe there was significant damage in the 1800s as well. The spire was built during the 19th century. So not all of the things we think of as definitive are really from the Gothic era, right?
Yeah, so you even mentioned at the beginning, you know, to effectively finish it, in theory, took 200 years. But I think it's really better to think about a cathedral or any building on this scale, especially a cathedral, as almost as much of a process as a building. And one of the ways a cathedral is interesting is the way that it remains animated through time and attracts things through time. And as you suggested, that includes opposition, not just unanimity. The kind of unanimity we see around the cathedral today is actually probably rare for most of its history, because it is the base for the bishop, and a bishop has opponents as well as friends. So the French Revolution, as you mentioned, misunderstood statues of biblical kings on the facade, took them for French kings, and decapitated them. They were actually protected by a friend of the cathedral in the late 18th century, and rediscovered buried on the Ile de la Cité in the 1970s. They're now on display at the Medieval Museum in Paris. So the building's gone through incredible vicissitudes like that.
And President Macron is not alone in referring to this as a jewel of France. You know, people gathered. We saw them horror-struck and then cheered by the fact that the cathedral didn't collapse. Ultimately, what has the role been? How symbolically important is Notre Dame to France's understanding of itself?
Yeah, so already back in the 15th century, during the Hundred Years' War, so this is the period of Joan of Arc and Shakespeare's Henry V and things like that, when the French were looking for symbols of their national identity, they turn to things like Notre Dame in Paris and Gothic architecture more generally to say, this is something that makes us French. This is the reason we can't have an English king. The English don't have any cathedrals as good as that in Notre Dame of Paris. And then that continues into the 17th and the 18th centuries. Because it's the largest church in the city of Paris, any time an important figure like the king needed a public religious stage, Notre Dame provided that stage. So you have very important diplomatic marriages going on there. When diplomats visit the city, they have to visit Notre Dame. It becomes really the embodiment of Catholic France in particular.
Although not technically owned by the church, right?
Not since the 19th century. It is now property of the French state, which is raising questions about insurance and things like that right now in an interesting way.
A different conversation for a different point. During World War II, I saw reports that most of the glass on these gorgeous stained glass windows were destroyed and that it had been rebuilt. Is that essentially what you expect to have happen again?
So I think my sense right now is we don't really know what the situation with the stained glass is and how it was damaged by both the fire and the water used to put out the fire. Mm-hmm. I think much medieval stained glass in large urban environments has already become, since the 13th century, a patchwork of repairs and new windows being put in.
Sure.
And actually, much of the medieval glass was taken out in the 18th century in an attempt to brighten the church and make it seem more fitting for the way the 18th century wanted it to look.
On a personal note, let me say one of my favorite family possessions is a picture of my parents as a young couple in front of Notre Dame. My mother texted me on Monday. She reminded me of my childhood friend Rob when we were palling around Paris with my parents when I was about 10, had given me a small replica of a gargoyle rainspout from Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. She texted, "It used to look childly grotesque to me, but today I think it stands in for those boys, maybe 10, maybe making fun of each other as they look down at Paris from its center, the only place to see it from, and when you look down from there, the place to be."
Yeah.
We've been talking with Eric Ingles. He's a professor of medieval art history at Oberlin College. Thank you, Professor, for joining us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm grateful.
On Point is produced by Anna Bauman, Justine Daum, Brian Hardzinski, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Hillary McQuilkin, Allison Poli, Grace Tatter, Tanya Raleigh, James Ross, Alex Schroeder, and Adam Waller. We've had help from Matt Hoisch, Alex Pena, and Sydney Wertheim. Our executive producer is Karen Schiffman. Me, I'm David Folkenflik. You've been listening to On Point.